place. I didn't mean old people, all right? Forgive me there. Some of us have been around a little longer. We knew who to, we called that Christian. He lived at the end of the street. He was always just a mean, nasty, grouchy, grumpy old man, all right? Growing up. And so we just stayed away from him, all right? Because one day, we're able to drive now. I'm like 16 years old, 17 years old. And my dad goes, "Oh, you can drive the truck."
So sorry, their car is broken. I have sympathy that, you know, now he's got to figure out how to get around, and we have sympathy with someone. And that's not compassion. There's no action. We can have sympathy and do nothing. We can have pity and do nothing. You know, I pity the guy, you know, my neighbor, he lost his job 3 months ago, and you know, I really feel sorry for him. And compassionate and kindness says, you know, my neighbor lost his job 3 months ago. We need to go see what we need to help. Maybe they could use some food. Maybe he needs some help in finding a job. My neighbor lost her job a long time ago, and she comes over and knocks on the door and says, "Hey, can you fax some papers for me?" "No, I don't want to waste my time." load of single moms who's in the hospital and she's sick and she's been there 3 or 4 days and the kids are at home and grandma's come over and I wonder if they got me. Isn't that sad? I pity. The compassion said, I need to go down there and see if they need anything. Do they need some food? Does grandma need a break? Grandma's got the kids, I guarantee you. She probably needs a break. See, compassion and kindness moves us beyond pity, and it moves us beyond sympathy. It moves us to do something. That's what mercy is. So this morning, I really want us to think about how we worship. How do we just have sympathy? Are we merciful, or do we just have pity? Do we see a need that they can't meet themselves, and we want to step in? We've been talking about forgiveness, and I want to kind of move to this. And so I wrote it this way in your notes. You can kind of see that right there. Mercy is showing compassion to other people. Showing compassion. It's not sympathy. It's not pity. It's action. So this morning, I'm going to be calling you to action. And so already have been called to action in your small group. In our small group, we've had a challenge. The challenge in our small group was to do a mercy project. Maybe you are aware of that. So we're going to kind of dwell on that for this morning. And the best picture of mercy is none other than God and Jesus, right? And as you read those accounts, those historical accounts of Jesus, those biographies, those gospels that we call them of Jesus, they're in your Bible. There's one story of an encounter Jesus had with a gentleman. That's tremendous. That's a tremendous amount. Not just pity. It's courage. I want to look at this story. It's a young man, and here it begins, Mark chapter 1. You get it in your outline. Just kind of follow along. It starts out this way. Then a man with leprosy came to him, and on his knees, begged. I'm going to stop right there. This man with leprosy came to Jesus. Now, leprosy was, let me put it this way. Leprosy was looked like today, like we look at and looked at AIDS back in the 80s, okay? That's how they classified leprosy back then. It was this contagious, very contagious. That was their observation. It put you as an outcast, put you on the outside. You were one of those individuals. You couldn't stay in your family. If you had leprosy, they moved you out of your house. You had to leave. You lost your family if you had leprosy. You lost your friends if you had leprosy. Now, leprosy, most of us, you know, it's a disease of the skin and stuff, but it also affects the nervous system, you know, and all this is going on, and you were forced out of the home. You were forced into it, and we still read about them. Leprosy colonies, but most of them are gone, but there's still some. I was reading some background. Some nations still have leprosy colonies. And I wrote this. Today we don't call it leprosy. We call it the Hansen's disease, I think is what it's called today. But these individuals were, so they could not touch anybody. If they touched somebody or you touched them, you were unclean. They would walk into town, and when they came into town, they would be yelling, unclean, unclean, so nobody would get near them. These individuals were feared, and they were looked down upon. They were the outcasts. They were the nobodies. They were the ones you stayed away from. I had nothing to do with them. I don't have, I don't want any contact with them. I want to make sure you get a picture of who this guy is. All right, here's Jesus in this crowd. All right, here's Jesus in this crowd, and all these people. Here this leprosy comes on his knees and begs him, if you are willing, I'm just circling those words, we're going to come back to that. If you are willing, you can make me clean. Move with compassion. Jesus reached out his hand and touched him. I'm willing, he told him. He made clean. Immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. Did he sternly warn him, he being Jesus, sternly warn him and send him away at once, telling him, see that you nothing to anyone. All right, don't tell anybody. I mean, if you get good news, what are you going to want to do? Especially this, when you had a lifetime conviction of this. Lifetime, you're done. You're over. You don't matter. You're sent out. And now all of a sudden, it's all changed. I don't think that's going to be pretty hard to keep that a secret. But Jesus had a reason. Jesus didn't want to say it because what happened later, you're going to see why Jesus said it. But then he sends him to the priest. The priest was kind of like the doctor. The priest was the one that could say, yes, you've been healed. He'd be the one to put the stamp of approval. He'd be the one to say, now you're not unclean anymore. All right? See that you say nothing to anyone. Go and show yourself to the priest and offer what Moses commanded for you, for your cleansing as a testimony to them. He said, bring your offering to God. All right? Because God did the healing. It's God that did this. Yet he went out and began to proclaim it widely and spread the news. All right? He couldn't keep his mouth shut. I don't know, okay? Yet he went out, began proclaiming it widely and spread the news. With the result that Jesus could no longer enter his town openly. See, that's what Jesus was trying to prevent. Wasn't that the news out? It was like, it's going to limit what I can do. But he was out in the desert places, and they came to him from everywhere. They were still coming to Jesus, but he didn't go to town. I want you to look at this picture. Here's this guy, the outcast of society, the dregs of society, the one that everyone stayed away from. No one wanted anything to do with, that no one looked upon kindly, that no one looked upon with compassion, that no one looked upon even with sympathy. And he was just an outcast of society. Now Jesus, kind of, let me take a little side note here. As I was writing the message, I wanted to make sure, because maybe you're here this morning, you kind of feel that way. Maybe you're here this morning and you kind of feel ostracized. Maybe you're here this morning and you kind of feel excluded. Maybe you're here this morning and you kind of feel like, maybe you feel like you don't belong. Maybe you feel like you don't matter. I want to tell you something. Here this guy came who society had crucified, that society had ignored the Jesus. That's what I want to tell you. Kind of just as a side note, I'm going to tell you. That if you come to Jesus like this, don't sin, are you willing? I want to tell you what. He didn't say, are you able? Did he say, Jesus, if you're able? He said, Jesus, if you're willing. Here it is, you're willing. How would you know God's willing? If you feel like that, see, I want to tell you, God's got a conflict. This is just a side note. Because sometimes we hurt. You may be here hurting this morning. I don't know. I don't know what kind of got in your life, and you know, like I said, I can identify with some of that because, you know, like I said, I look at my family, I look at my life. When I turned 17, I became a Christian. I was the oldest in the house. My two brothers slept in the same room. I had my own room until my rotten sister was born, then I had to move into the garage. How'd you like to be the one in your house that, hey, we got a new friend coming, you're 11 years old, you get to sleep in the garage? Now, I know I was loved, you know, and I tell you, I loved the garage, because what made it nice about the garage, then I moved out to the back end, on the side. I lived in the lean-to on the side of the house, you know, but that was the best thing that nobody knew when I came and went. I'm not going to tell you, but, you know, there's benefits to being on the outside sometimes. Yeah. So I know what it feels like. My brothers were close, my sister was the baby, I'm the oldest, the best, always the best, the oldest, come on. But sometimes I felt left out. Anybody? Sometimes I felt like, do I belong? If you're here this morning, I want to make sure, you know, as I read this message and going over the message, I want to make sure this morning that if you feel that way, don't care. Okay? God is sitting there saying, I'm willing. So I just want to offer that to you. It's kind of a sad fact, a side note. That maybe you're here this morning and you just feel I don't fit in, and maybe I'm not part of the family, maybe I'm not part of the church, maybe I'm not part of, I don't know, of society, and I just don't matter, and nobody really cares. How do you think this guy feels? know that kind of psychosis. It's a good feeling now, but I want to tell you something. I want to tell you something about this freaking place. I want this freaking place. I want you to know you can come. We're going to love on you. We're going to have what it says here is called first. I want this church to be a place. Let me get back into the message, guys. I'll get back out. Did you side note? Mercy, doing kindness, all right? I want you to think about this guy for a minute. This guy comes to you and says, are you willing? Are you willing to change my life? Are you willing to give me a new life? Are you willing to limit this loneliness that I'm feeling? Are you willing to meet my hunger and my needs that I have? Are you willing? Do you see what this guy's saying? This is a life-changing event in this guy's life. He's saying, Jesus, are you willing? Are you willing? I want to ask you a question. This is Jesus. What do you think, guys? He stinks. He ain't dressed right. He's got long, straggly hair. He just don't fit in with us. He's not one of us. He wears those funny pants. He looks like he needs his brush. Didn't he have all his teeth? What do you think of you? Fall off the roof form above the bunk. You know what I'm talking about? You got a sign there that's no panhandling at all. Stop sound. What do you think? When you go down on Yosemite, down by the great ministry. You see all the people there. What do you think? I want to give you another picture. I live in a neighborhood. Have you lived in a neighborhood? I got neighbors right next door. Some of you live on farm areas, okay? I live in a neighborhood. You know how many people in my neighborhood drive down the street, push a button, pull into the garage, and close the door, and never come out? They have a service that mows their yard. The only time you ever see them out is if they don't have a service, they're mowing their yard. That's the only time you ever see them out. Anybody else? Hey, some of those people are working. What do you think? Maybe it's you. I don't. Maybe it's you. Feel like they don't belong. Sometimes there's emotional needs. I worry about one of my neighbors. I don't know. I do. I have a neighbor I pray for because I don't know. I've lived on that house about 26, 7, out of 20 some odd years, okay? I think I should have gone home. See, I had another neighbor I'd walk by, I'd say hi to her. Her hair looked kind of messed up, and she just didn't quite look well. I found out what was going on. Guess what? She passed away. I talked to the husband, I talked to the kids. I'm one who walks the street. But you know, we have neighbors. They're not the ones standing on the corner. They're still listening. See? Now here, Jesus was, if you turn it over, it says he moved with compassion. I wanted to say, what moved you? Jesus reached out his hand and touched him. I'm willing, he told him. Be made clean. Now, I'm going to tell you, two things are going to happen when Jesus touched this guy. Alright? take your pick. Either when Jesus touched this guy, Jesus is going to be declared unclean. Can't go to church now, Jesus. You're unclean. You got to wait. I don't remember all the days of cleaning yourself. You know, you got to leave that aside. Yeah, you can go read all that again. That's in the Old Testament. Go enjoy reading Leviticus, okay? All right. Or the guy's going to get healed. And what happened? A miracle. Here's this guy who was ostracized. This guy, I want you to think about it. Here's a guy that people probably never would have even had eye contact with. They'd see him coming and they go, I don't want to look at him. Because it would make me feel weird looking at him, right? Come on. You ever get weird looking at something? Don't do that. But that probably never had eye contact. People see him come to town, they go, hey. Henry's in town. Watch it. Can you imagine the emotion of turmoil in this guy? And just think of what's going on as this. So I want to challenge us this morning. As I wrote the notes this morning, I made it three. So you have to fill in one. You have to create one for you, okay? So the first point I put in here. Give the gift of your presence. Be there. There are hurting people out there. I shared with you what I had them sleeping right here. You know why they were sleeping right here? Because they could charge their phone. Plug into our church and charge their phone right here. So they were sleeping between the air conditioning stuff. All right? Looked like they were 16. She looked like she was 16. She looked like maybe 17, 18, maybe 19. It didn't bother me until I seen they were doing a drug there. And then it kind of, I had movements like, yeah, if you don't do drugs, I can't. But I asked them. You want to go to the gospel mission? You want bus tickets? I'll help you get home. I mean, I did get home. But I want to talk about being just being there. I want to spend a minute with this. Because most of us don't have time to be there. Am I right? We got a million things. And even when we're there, yeah, I hear you. When is it going to happen? Yeah, okay. Yeah, I see. Okay, yeah, but didn't they go to a restaurant? Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Yeah, yes, honey. Yeah, I believe you. Okay, yeah. You know, a lot of times, we're there, but we're not present. Am I right? See, we need to be there. We need to be present. I've shared many times, you know, when I do a funeral and stuff like this, I have no miraculous words. I have no great wisdom, and most of you guys know that one. You know? Because, you know, somebody passes away, and Gary gets a call, and Gary's going to go, and he's going to be there. And it's like, well, what am I going to say when I get... What I say when I get there, oh, I'm so sorry, there's a lot. That's all I can offer? I, you know, something else, I'll tell stories about the person. But that's what other people know. The joy that person brought to me and other people's lives. I've sat in hospitals waiting rooms. Somebody's having surgery. I've seen some others sit there. Some of you have been there. Your friends having surgery, your wife, your spouse. And, you know, I hate leaving somebody sitting in the operating bed in the waiting room for somebody to have surgery by themselves. So a lot of times I'll sit there for somebody else coming. And somebody else gets there. It's like, I got to go see. Like I said, still the one that burns in my mind is we're over here at Dr. Costa in the doctor's hospital. And we're sitting there with one of the young ladies. Her husband's having bypass surgery. And there's an older lady comes in and she sits down over there. We're talking, and we're praying, we prayed, and we talked, and we're laughing. Even though that person had surgery, we're out there laughing, okay? So if you're on the heart table getting surgery, we might be out there laughing, all right? And so we're visiting, and we're talking, and we're sharing. There's three or four of us from the church sitting with the young lady, and the older lady's sitting over there, and she finally chimes in, and we're talking about church. He goes, you guys go to church? Yeah, you know, I'm the pastor. And, oh, yeah. He goes, but you never go to church. He goes, it's Christian. I don't know if some of you might remember the conversation, you know. And it's like, so we sat there for a few minutes. I kind of wrapped up the conversation. I got up, whatever, sat next to her. And I go, well, no and yes. I said, no, you don't, you know, it's pretty hard to be a good Christian without going to church, okay? Just to be honest with you, it's pretty hard to be a good Christian without going to church. But then I said, you've got people here. Is there a good reason to be in a small group? Is there a good reason to have a family of God here? See, just being here. Am I making sense? And so I want to challenge you. There's convalescent homes. There's seniors who can't get out anymore. There's people in homes. I'm like this. There's still Amen Christians around, okay? I don't know who it is in your neighborhood, but it's still there. I got a neighbor who lives on this corner. And it's so fun. Sometimes I walk quick so I can get by them. You know, because sometimes he's outside. I stop and talk with him. I walk up and talk to him. The other day, guess what? He stopped and picked me up walking home. It's a long walk home. I don't need a ride, but I don't turn it down either. An opportunity to minister. Just opportunity for him to be kind for me to be respectful. So the other day, the old man, he went to the place to get some cigarettes downtown, Salida. He's coming home to smoke his cigarettes. He says, hey, you want to ride? So I'm almost home. I jump in the car and ride around the corner, 100 yards. Get out this driveway. And I talk. But the other day, I'm going to tell you, if you get out, you'd be surprised. The other day, I walked home on a Saturday. I walked down here to do some work. I come down here on Saturday and kind of fine-tune my notes. I walk home. I didn't make a couple hours. I wanted to make one lady visit to the lady, a neighbor across the street. Four neighbors stopped to talk to me. Hey, Gary! See, I knock on the door. She's not home. I go over there. He's out there. Hey, you know, we end up talking over there. Finally, she gets home. I talk to her. The guy put me out front because she got home. That's what got there. Then it's not rare. I start walking across it. The other neighbor stopped. Yeah, guess what? They don't have candy from the other. They have no home. I wonder if that's a presence. And when I was talking about presence, I put it with this point, but I want to make this a second one. You got to write this one down. Right? I touch others. I put this as part of when I wrote the notes originally, but this morning I wanted to add that one in there. There's a power in our touch. When I go to the hospital and I pray with somebody, you know what I do? I want to put my hand on. Can I touch you? Can I pray for you? Can I touch you? Not because I got you. It don't happen, all right? I have none of that. Alright? The studies have said we need 8 to 10 significant touches a day. You know that? We need 8 to 10 touches. We need to touch others. Now, when you have kids, it's a different thing, right? Don't touch me! He's touching me! Right? Man, you tell them you need 8 of them. Matter of fact, if you say not that, I need to touch you 11 times now. Oh! I'm going to aggravate you now. Because you need those physical touches. And what did Jesus do? He touched a guy that in his daytime was considered very contagious. And was going to make him unclean. He touched me. I see that power in that touch. So you know, it's okay to hug sometimes. We do need hugs, all right? Nice. I got a great video to show you how to hug. They have like 11 different ways, or a bunch of different ways to hug. It's on YouTube. I have to look it up again. Should have had it for this. But there's power in the touch. Is that okay? And the last one I put down here is this. Do what only you can do. Jesus can heal people. I can't. But you know what I can do? I can pray. And I'm not, well, I'll play with you at home. I quit doing that now. Just so you know, the other day, Dan and I went out for lunch. He owed me lunch. We went out. We're sitting around. Do we go out for lunch? Don't we go out for lunch? We meet on Friday and just kind of talk, work on the sermon. I get ideas. He gets ideas. And do we go out? Don't we go out? Where do we go? Well, you know where we ended up, right? Taco Bell. Went up and Taco Bell. We're sitting there talking. Two people from our church walk. One of the church walk. Hey, come over here. And they come over and we spend, what, 20 minutes? And like 20 minutes talking with them. And then it's like, I tell her, I look at her and I go, sit down. I'm fasting. Do what I tell you, right? She did. She sat down. She didn't even bat an eye. I said, can we pray? We're going to pray for you. Right in the middle of Taco Bell. Dan led the prayer. Didn't even say, here, you want to pray? He just prayed. He said, amen. Didn't even give me a chance. Thanks, Dan. But we prayed. Right there at Taco Bell. Okay. I can do a lot of things for what you can do. But I can do one thing for you that you can do right here. You know what I'm saying? You know, we look at, we see the guy, you know, like I said, we go up that floor exit, and there's a guy, or there's a lady, you know, or wherever that is, and you see them, you know, and they're not dressed, and what do you do? Now, just so you know, for me, I'm not one who gives money out, okay? That's not me. I had others that give cards to, like, make, you know, $5 gift cards, McDonald's, and stuff like that. For me, I like giving to the Modesto Gospel Ministry, okay? I'm to be honest with you. I love the Modesto Gospel Ministry. A great ministry. And I'm high on gospel ministry. That's it. Those that run that place, they work. So I like to give to them. And I like to help them. And I like to give right to the gospel mission. You need them. I like to give a ride to mental health, okay? I did take somebody to mental health one time. I got a call from the school. Harry, can you come over here and help so-and-so? Because I knew so-and-so. Principal called me. I gave a guy a ride for mental health. They didn't take it, that's right. It was collided away. But do what you can do. All right, that's what I'm asking. What can you do? It doesn't have to be money. It could be spirit. The couple that was staying here, I gave them $10. I didn't know they were doing drugs. Like, I would give them money now that I found out that they were doing drugs. I didn't think they were doing drugs. They didn't. I'm a dummy, okay? You know? And, you know, it was a holiday. They had kids turn their cans in, and I figured they're hungry. He had a bag of cans. He wanted to turn them in, but they're all closed on the holiday. And it's like, they're going to need to eat. So I give them $10. But that's not my usual. You don't feel good right now. When you feel bad, there's people that, you know, that time, they might need it. Don't just, well, I can't give it to them because they're going to go spend it. If you feel bad by God, give it, okay? But other times, find something else. But what can you do? There's other things. You can do it. I prayed in the middle of my street. I'm serious. Standing on the sidewalk with a neighbor. I prayed at my doorway with the same neighbor. I prayed at her doorway with the same neighbor. And so I got this little question right here. Hey, this is a bad message. Dad, can you do something? What am I willing to do? Alright? What are you willing to do? Don't look at me right now. Look down there and write something. I told you, I'm going to be mean. What are you to do? Is there a neighbor that needs something that they can't do for themselves? there somebody at work? Is there somebody at school? Is there somebody in your family? Is there something you can do that they can't do? It says, be merciful as your Father is merciful. Now, our church strives, okay? You need to know, I'm proud of this church. I'm proud to be here, proud to be a part, and I'm proud to be the pastor, and I don't do a lot of this, but I'm excited. We persevere in love saliva. We try to go to the neighborhoods here and minister, and then we did all those decks. Kids are being moved, and you go into this room over here, the women in the church help support Laura and Andy went out and got a bunch of this, like, I forget how many kids they got clothes for, that the police or that the child protective services come in to move the kid that night. You know, we got to move them now. They can't stay here any longer. They don't get a chance to pack stuff up. They got to go. Now they got stuff they can give them. And there's things that, you know, I just think about things that we've done. We collected eyeglasses that girls that I take to Haiti whenever they let us go to Haiti. You know, and the backpacks and clothing and there's all sorts of stuff. I want to ask you, what are you doing? We're doing our mercy. We've been talking a lot about forgiveness, but today I told you we're kind of flipping it over and we're going to go to that unearned kindness. Compassion. Doing something. I don't know what your group's doing. But I'm going to help my group. We don't have something to do. On the table out there, we're collecting socks for the mental health and for the mental health services here. They said, I didn't know this, I just listened to a broadcast the other day, that number one thing that missions and health services need are socks. But also they need underwear. I'm not going to find the underwear, okay? That's not, you know, Laura and I went out, I'm going to buy socks. And so we bought a bunch of socks that we're going to take them mental health. I got a little list out there. They want dollar things to the dollar store that they can give out on bingo. They play bingo. If you go to a dollar store, it's just $10 worth of little trinket stuff the big sports stuff they ship. Sports basketball. So, do you see a table out there? You can put the card up for that. You know, and be a part of what my group is doing. Daryl's group's got something. Linda's group's got something. I know the groups are trying something. And some of them, you know, it's hard to figure out, you know, and I could have did a better job there with having a list of things you guys could jump in on. Next time I have to do a little bit better job there. But I just promote my group. Woo! So there's that little paper out there. I was going to have one, but I forgot to bring it with me. Each paper that tells you what to get, you know. Oh, just so you know, I got those little thin socks that ladies wear, you know. 10 pairs for $5 at Walmart. Then I got some nice hands. I got the ladies those little thin things. I got guys' hands. Nice socks. Yeah, I want some good socks for guys. I don't know. So I just want to challenge you. What will you do? You got a neighbor? You got a friend? Just, are you 30? You know, I had this phrase, it says this, here's Paul as he writes, Paul says this, may the Lord show mercy to the family of Onesiphorus, who has often helped me, and was not ashamed that I was in prison. Paul said, they're saying, listen, when I was down and out, when I was thrown in prison, when I was at a low life, this guy helped me. So, I pray for his family. So I wrote it this way. May the Lord show mercy to the Dew family who has often helped me. That's what I pray. I put my name in. Can you put your name in there? Can you write your name because you helped somebody? Will somebody pray for you? That prayer. What do you think? Will somebody pray for you? God bless them. Isn't that nice? church to be. I tell people all the time, I want this church to be great. When I stand before God and God says, Gary, why did you do this? And it wasn't something I should have did. But I thought, goodness to God, I thought it was great. I screwed up. I thought I did great, so I'm asking you for grace. I need grace. But I also need Lord, I just thank you that you love us. Lord, I'm praying this morning. I know